The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Just lift your hands and let's pray in the spirit. Let's pray in the spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just pray.
And your name is to be hallowed. Adonai. Your name is to be hallowed.
Father, we honor you. We receive light and understanding that comes from your word. Let your word change us. Let your word transform us. Let the word make us better persons. I ask for everyone here light, revelation, clarity. Let these meetings from now change how we think, change how we look at ourselves, how we look at life, and let it affect the results that we begin to get from now. In Jesus' name we pray. Do you want to shout a loud amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Today is day 18. Amen. How many of you have not missed one day? Let me see your hand. Okay, you've not missed one day. Celebrate yourself. Come on. Hallelujah. How many of you have done up to 10 days at least? At least 10. Amen.
Amen.
You know, this is another hard. To show, you know, I'm feeling somehow. It's almost finishing. Eh? I'm feeling somehow. When you look at the impact of some of these meetings, you will now understand the wisdom of God behind the early church. And you now understand why we had the quality of Christians we had in the early church. Because imagine this is the pattern that we meet every day. Imagine you meet, we hear God's word every day for 1 year. We will not be the way we are now. I'm telling you the truth. So you notice, the more we talk down on consistent and regular church meetings, the weaker the kind of Christians that will produce. The only challenge is why the reason why people don't complain much is because even most churches don't teach the word. I'm not talking about gathering every Sunday to come and shout fire, fire, fire. I mean, sit under the word. If we meet regularly like that and hear the word regularly, trust me, man, we're going to have some kind of quality Christians. Amen.
Amen.
But then God will help us.
Amen.
What you do is, after these 30 days, don't let this routine stop in your life. Have that culture of learning the word daily, praying daily. That's why I recommend every believer should read at least a chapter of the Bible every day, pray every day, listen to at least one teaching, or read a book every day. That should be something. So what I'm actually teaching is, that should be something you do to take the word of God into your system by yourself. That's within the Bible. Then listen to or read what another teacher has done daily. I get to the point. So an effort where the word goes from the Bible to you, and then where you listen to either teaching or you read a book. Do you understand? That adds to you. So that you feed your spirit, you feed yourself every day. Amen. And it's been amazing. Amen. Today is Nigerian Independence. Are you happy?
Yes,
sir. Do you love Nigeria?
Yes, sir.
Now you have no option. You have no other country. Amen.
Amen.
How would you want Nigeria to be in 5 years' time if you had all the powers? Well, how would you want it to be? Think about that. Are you done thinking? Thinking. How would it be? How do you want the roads to be? The educational sector to look like? The health sector? The, you know, what would you like? Okay. Now lift your hands and pray for Nigeria. Now, let's have like 3 minutes to pray for the country. From your heart. From your heart. Pray for this country. We complain more than we pray. And things will never change by complaining. If you don't know what to pray, pray for the leaders. You may not like them. You may think you didn't vote them in. But pray for them. That God grants them the wisdom. Pray for our states. That God grants our leaders the wisdom to make right choices, to carry out right policies. Pray that the devil will not take hold of their hearts and influence their choices. Pray for the president. Pray for the governors. Pray for the House of Assembly, the National Assembly. Pray that the wisdom of God will rest mightily upon them. The Bible says, woe to the land whose king is a child. And so when our kings behave like children, it's the land that suffers. So pray for our country. Pray. Pray. That's what you can do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Father, we bless Nigeria.
Amen.
We call Nigeria blessed.
Amen.
We know many words have gone negatively over this country, even from our own mouths at different times. But Lord, this moment we call this country blessed.
Amen.
We call this country fruitful.
Amen.
We call it prosperous.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. We bless the leaders that are blessed with wisdom. That are blessed with wisdom to rule. Wisdom to lead. Wisdom to make right choices. In the name of Jesus. We believe for the best. We believe for the best. We pray for all institutions in this country. We pray for the educational sector. We pray for the police. We pray for the military. We pray for every institution that your wisdom will rest mightily upon them. In the name of Jesus, that foolishness no longer prevail over this land. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we expect the best. And we speak over ourselves that this land is going to favor us. This land will do us good. We will be blessed in this land. To the glory and praise of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Shout aloud, amen. Did you pray that prayer passionately? Are you sure? I'm so afraid of looking like you pray with passion. You should really pray for Nigeria, whether you like Nigeria or not. It's your country. Even if you travel out, your siblings are here. If you move all of them out, your father and mother is here. If you move all of them out, your cousins are here. You cannot run away from it. If you move all your cousins out, your friends are here. Your church family is here. Do you get the point now? And if you hear that something happened to someone in church, even if you are in this easy space, you will be affected. So this is our country. Sometimes it can be frustrating, but they just learn to pray. One thing I would encourage people to really do is You know, I know sometimes it's difficult not to complain with how things are going. But if you find yourself complaining, make sure you just say something nice about the country. Say, well, things will get better. It's fine. Because the problem is that there are many people complain over Nigeria. There are not many blessers. Now, I'm not saying that's all we need, though. That's what I'm saying, though. There's a whole lot. We need right leadership and other things. But you know what I found out is this. If you pray over a matter so much, God will begin to trust you with that thing. Let me give you an example. If you pray over souls too much, there are chances that God will lead you to win a lot of souls. If you pray over Nigeria so much, God will eventually raise you to a point where you can become an agent of change. I believe what I'm saying with all my heart. Because what you are doing by praying over Nigeria is that you are saying, I cannot change things, but the little I can do, I'll be doing it now. I'll just be praying. And when God sees that heart, some of you will end up in politics. Some of you might not be in politics as per regular politics, as per going to contest. Some of you might just get into an office where you can change this in your own space. Some of you that are in the education space, God can raise you so high, you become a commissioner of education, a minister of education, and you can begin to change things. Because that's how the change will come. I hope you know. It's right leadership. But now, for now, what you can do is to pray. What you can do is to pray. And then do what you can do. Pay your tax. What are all those things? Be a good citizen. When it's time to vote, you can cast your vote. And hope for the best. Amen. And as some of you, the Lord might even put it in your hearts sometime in the future to lead a revolution that will change Nigeria. You don't think that's possible? That's very possible. I'm talking about this. Most of these people that do revolution, most of them have selfish interest. I mean, proper revolution. It might not even be carrying placard. It might be an intellectual revolution. Yes, that you can lead that will change how things operate in this country. Somebody can use his pen and paper or his phone to type and change the country and shake up systems in the country. So we're not actually without help. So for now, just pray. And you know, don't think that there's no hope for Nigeria. There are some states you look at, and you look at the progress they've made under right leadership. You know that there is hope for this country. Look at maybe Abia State. I never felt like myself to ever get help in their life. Every time I go there, I always feel like they are cursed with bad leadership. But in the past 2 years plus, you remember my Abba experience, Abby? I just tell you guys, that Abba experience, I've not recovered from it. It reduced my calling. You get. But then, look at the progress. I'm not saying the man is perfect, but come on. Progress is visible. Progress is visible. So there is hope. Right? There is hope. Things are not where it's supposed to be. Let's even pretend. The problem in this country is the leaders like lying to themselves. Let's even lie to ourselves. Things are not fine. But things can be fine. And just be optimistic. Because that's the point. Be optimistic. Be optimistic. Things can really change. Though it's going to take some time, but things will change. You know, why Nigeria is even the way it is? Primarily is the leaders. But that's not the only problem. The major thing is, the greatest resource that Nigeria has, people think it's oil, but it's not oil. It is people. We are too big. And that is something we should have leveraged on. That's why the greatest investment anybody can do in Nigeria is human capital development. I get the point. Does this concern you? It concerns you. Just listen to me first. People think that all the resources we put into oil. Oil is not the highest thing we have. The highest thing we have is that we have numbers. Which is why it's painful that a country that has the number of people that we have, education is not given priority. Education should be the priority in this country because we have people. So once people are well trained, things are going to change. I'm telling you practically. Look at China. What are they using? Their crowd, their number. They have people. So what China is doing is develop the people, teach them tech, teach them different things. The country gets better. I get to the point. So there is need for us to educate. Education is quite very low. Not just the formal education, quite very low. Today in Nigeria, you can obtain a driver's license without ever seeing the four corners of a driving school. It tells that education is quite very low. So you see people driving like bad people on the road. I get what I'm saying. I think that's the major problem. We don't educate. The highest strength we have is our numbers. There's a country called, I was telling my wife recently, there's a country called Japan. You know Japan? Japan might be the best of countries, so, but those guys, they invest a lot in their people. They behave so properly. Let me give you an example. Some of you that watch FIFA World Cup, it's on record. Every year, if Japan uses a dressing room, before they leave, they will clean the room. That's the players. They will clean the room, put it in order. Sometimes when they eliminate from the World Cup, they will go around the stadium, pick desks in the stadium, put it in order before they go. That's their culture. That's how they're trained. Those millionaires. The Nigerian will not do that. You get the point. So we don't invest, which is why, let me tell you this, which is why Nigeria should not be fighting church. You see, issues of learning, school, church, all of this should not be fought. Because that's the hope of the country. Where people are taught morals, empowered with skills, you know, and all of that. If we can invest, if I become a governor, I will not be a governor. I will not be a governor. I will never be. Say never. I say never. So, but if I have to become a governor, right? I would really wish we put a whole lot into. And I'm saying this because I know some of you. That's your future. Yes, I know I'm training all of you for ministry, but some of you are going to be in politics. I'm not going to force you. I just know it. One of you will not even. You just find yourself that you're already there. It just takes one person. Imagine one person that is close to us becomes a governor or anything, and they say, bring commissioner for education, commissioner for information. But you see the problem, if you are, that the person may pack all of you because now we. But if you are still not trained, you still go there and be the problem. So we don't invest in training in the country. So we think the best thing we have is all, the best thing we have is people, human beings. We are too much. And imagine if everybody is empowered with skills, with knowledge, with morality. The country will be fine. So I just gave you an example with China. That's the little they have. U.S. You know, the United States does not have any mineral resource. We have oil. They don't have anything. I follow what I'm saying. I don't know if they have anything. But I don't know. But they don't have oil. But they have the highest oil reserve in the world. Leave that one. I get to the point. It's people. It's people. Poorly trained everywhere. But look, and you see the level of poor education you have in this country. I'm not talking about formal education, no. We are not just well trained. Okay, a state wants to, just like what people are complaining about in Enugu now, with the whole Ministry of Transport harassing people all over the place. Now, was that a good initiative that was brought out? Yes. The question I asked is, how many weeks of training were those MOT guys passed through to be able to start? I get what I'm saying now. How many weeks? How many months of training? You don't just get people and release them like animals on the street. How many weeks of training? How many months of training? So I'm saying that our greatest strength is education. We have people. So they're not even children. So I'm telling them what to do. No, that is wrong. They say, They say, no, I'm telling you my rights. They don't even know what is right and what is wrong. They don't even know what they're supposed to do. They don't even know what they're supposed to do. So, you know, the point, we need to invest. And I'm going to say this. I see why I'm saying this. What you can do in your own small space is mentorship. If you just have people that are under you that you can teach them. I'm telling you, teach them. Impact right values into them. It's Independence Day. And this is my own Independence Day lecture for you. Amen. So, people that can impact your own small space, let them learn. And you find this not just in the government, everywhere. You get to a big company doing so well, interact with their staff, poorly trained. Poorly trained. That's the problem. Poorly trained. So, even if we create a new department in Nigeria, say, just like when Obasanjo came up with the EFCC idea. Very beautiful initiative. Very good initiative. We need such a financial crime commission. Right? But how much training? So if now find some of them, leave who they are meant to pursue, and are pursuing who they are not meant to pursue. So you give them money, they leave. You know the reason? There's no training
proper training, for instance, in character. So for me, such organizations should be able to undergo retreats. Not, I'm talking about Bible retreats, too. Like retreats once in a while, quarterly. Bring some sharp minds all over the world to come and school them for 3 days. They go back. After 3 months, bring them back again. And most of this, I get what I'm saying. If you work with any big firm, they do this. Once in a while, they call their staff for staff training. Because that is the strength of an organization. Are you getting the point? Like police, nothing is wrong with the police. You see, EFCC's police, nothing is wrong with them. The structure is good. If the police leave the street, you will see where there is crime. Like police, oh, if they leave the street for a few days, you will see crime. So nothing is wrong with the police. But how much empowerment do they have? I mean, I get the point. Of course, there are other things too. Because you don't pay them well. But I understand that you don't pay them well thing. But I'm just saying, it is not paying people well that makes them criminal. That's what I'm trying to make. Some of you are broke. Have you stolen anything? Because they make all of us are suffering. Why don't we all go and start selling? We can't keep making excuses because they're not well paid. People should be empowered and taught. I teach you here, if you are hungry, you don't have food to eat, pray, drink garri, sleep. That's the training. So that if you go and tell me you took bread from your place of work and you say, sir, it's because I was very hungry, it will not go down well with me. There's training in character. I feel what I'm saying. So in your own small space, some of you that you have somebody that you have an apprentice under you, or you have somebody that is learning work under you, don't just teach the person base of business, teach the person life. If you have younger ones, mentor them. Life. Are you getting the point? Because that's eventually what it comes down to. So Nigeria will be good, Nigeria will be bad. It's not about, because even if you say okay, just think of what, I blame the government, but not entirely. We are poorly taught. A government comes out and says, okay, we want to set up a team that will go around the whole universities. Okay, let's before you get that, a government may say we are releasing 10 billion to every higher institution to set up laboratory and all of that. You know how it goes now. People are not trained. Once the money comes, oh, glory to God, everything just... So where should we put the energy? Is it in disbursing funds or in training people that will handle the funds? Because even most of you say there is now strike. They're striking for this, striking for that. Those strikes have agenda. Once you give them money, they stop. So people are not trained. There's no strength of character. There's no proper training. So that's what the country needs. So in your own small space, do what you can. Is that okay? Do what you see this in everywhere. You go to buy fuel from a fuel station. Fuel attendants, poorly trained. Everybody, nobody, it will just be even anyhow. So there is actually no hope if we don't train people, because just like last election, we were shouting, we want young people to go, we want young people to go, old people should not go, old people, we not, you think it's about the youngest governor in this country last tenure was the worst governor. I will not call any name. Because a poorly trained young man will still make a bad leader. That is the truth. Very bad leader. In fact, they're even worse because their blood is hot. I get to the point. That's just like what I was telling some of the ladies during Perfect Lady. All these women empowerment, I'm not in for any of those things. Vote a woman, I will not vote a woman. I will not vote a woman. I will not vote a man. I will not vote a youth. I will not vote an old. I'll vote who is competent. Male, female, or whatever, doesn't matter. Because if you say vote a woman, tell me. Or vote a man, or vote a youth. I will never vote a person because the person is young. I won't do it. No, I'm not going to do it. I want to see how much investment I've made into yourself, such that if we put you there, you will deliver. Male, female, hermaphrodite, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just go there and deliver. That's all we want. Christian, Muslim, doesn't matter. Just deliver. I feel what I'm saying now. It's politics. So people are, there's poor training. So please do what you can. And I can tell you what I will do. I will not be a governor like I've told you. But anytime the Lord begins to lead me that it's time for someone to start getting into some of those things, I'm going to put up a special group in this church. It's already in my mind. One of the small groups are going to have people that have interest in politics in the future. Where I'll begin to sit on you people every week. Yes, actually. It's actually written down in my notes a long time ago. Because I know some of you are going there. They're not going to embarrass your father. They say, who's your pastor? They say, Pastor Henry. They thought that will fire your mouth. Don't embarrass yourself. They pass 10 million before you, it disappears. You say, you're not going to pay tight. Keep it to yourself. You don't need it. I get any point. I mean, because people are poorly trained. A Christian with election say, oh, he's born again. He's born again. But is he trained for the office? Does he even know what? Does he even understand leadership? Do you understand the point? And I want to say some of you now, this is going too far now, but I'm taking this in too long. But let me say this to you. Some of you that God has put your heart to go into politics, please don't shy away from it. Let me even make it very clear to you. With how much the little progress I've made in interacting with people that are in power and all of that, all this idea of that all people that are in power are ritualists and occultic is a lie. It's a big lie. There are many tongue-talking believers in power. It will shock you. Like, I've met some. I guess, and it's not like, you know, it's not like they're faking tongues. So, real believers. Yes. Real believers. So, it's not true that you must indulge. You don't have to indulge. We will pray for you. Amen. So, if God is leading you there, trust God for it. Maybe not now. What can you do? Start training yourself. Right? I can recommend some books for you. Not Christian book. Let me give you like this book called, I read it some time ago. I didn't finish it. I just can't read it. It was not my business. From Third World to First World. Do you know it? How does this Singapore as a nation move from Third World country to First World country? Yes. A very big book. And how it happened within how many years. And if you really find out that these things are actually possible in this place. But gift a leader in Nigeria that we say, what is he doing with it? He said, like all this big book. He said, these are white people. What used to work there will not work here. That's a problem. But God will help us. In Jesus' name. So happy Independence Day, Nigeria. So believe in this country, right? Believe in this country. Just do what you can from your space. What am I doing as a pastor? What I'm doing now? Training you, teaching you character development, making sure you become a good... That's my own part I'm contributing. So your own small space, contribute your own part. Teach people, encourage them, right? Teach them character. So that you know that if somebody passes through you and becomes something in government tomorrow, you can beat your chest and say, I trained that one well. She's going to represent us well. Amen. Are you blessed? Okay, let's get into the word. Amen. Have your seat. Good evening. Amen. So I have the life of God in me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. Let me remind you where we are coming from. And this is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Say, I have life. He said, he that had the Son had life. He that had not the Son of God had not life. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. So God wants us to know. And knowing is beyond just knowing. I mean, when you know, that's why I said knowing is beyond hearing it. If you really know, it's going to influence how you talk, how you think, and how you do life. And so we've been looking at some things that this eternal life has brought for us. So just yesterday, we tidied up on everything around life, long life. If you've listened to us for the past 1 week or more, you would have learned that God wants you to live long, and a lot of things have been said along that line. Right? Now, today I'm going to start talking about something very interesting. I call this spiritual intelligence. It's still one of the things you find in the life of God. One of the things that came into us when we came into Christ, when the life of God came into us, is that is an intelligence. Please follow what I'm going to share with you today. Now, let me refresh your mind. Do you remember that this life of God is actually his nature? Do you remember? It's actually his nature. 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. This life of God is actually his nature. And so, God put his nature in us. He said, according to as his divine, according as divine power had given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be what? Partakers of the divine nature. So God has made us partakers, sharers of the divine. The divine nature talks about God's very nature. So God has given us his very nature. So right there where you are, God has shared his nature with you. And so the desire of God in Genesis 1:26 has been fulfilled in the believer. What, remember that desire? Let us make man in our image and our likeness. That desire that God had for Adam has become a reality now in the believer. So the believer now carries the nature of God, the image of God, the likeness of God. Is it very clear to us? The very nature of God. The very likeness of God. Let me refresh your mind a little. Do you remember when I was teaching you on grafting? Do you remember that? But I need to just run that stuff again just to remind you so you understand what we're going to. You know, there is a grafting that happens when you come into Christ. Let me get that verse. I think that's 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Glory to God. We've covered a whole lot. So, 1 Corinthians. Have you found it? Chapter what? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. I was looking for it. Are you helping me find it? Okay, please help me. But I want us to do that, lay that foundation today. Because it is very important that when we say we have the life of God, you have to understand how that came about and what that means. We have the life of God, we have the nature of God. What it means is that God's life, God's nature is now at work in us. Okay, I think I've seen it. Romans 11, not 1 Corinthians now. Romans 11 and verse 17. Let's see. I hope I'm correct. Romans 11, verse 17. Yes. Now, this is how we came into Christ. This is how the life of God came into us. This is one way Paul explained this. He said, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, we are grafted in among them, with them partakers of the roots are fans of the olive. Give me like New Living Translation. Let's read together, everybody, before it comes on the screen. Are you ready? Let's go together. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, that is some of the people of Israel, have been broken off. And you Gentiles, who we are branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. So you notice in Christ, what happened is Christ is the tree. The original plan of God is, it was the Israelites that had access to everything. But of course, some of them did not believe. So God now cut us, the Gentiles, from a wild olive tree and joined us to Christ. And you know how grafting happens? If there is a mango tree and you cut a branch from another tree, that another mango tree, and join to it. Have you ever seen it happen in agriculture? Eventually, at first, there are two separate trees. But as you keep them together for some time, life begins to flow from the tree into the branch. And then suddenly the branch will come alive. Now, every life that the tree carries, it begins to share with the branch. And so, the branch now carries the life of the tree. So, when we say we have the life of Christ, it's because we've been joined to Christ. So where does the branch get its life from? From the tree. Where does the branch get nutrients from? From the tree. Are you following me? So that's why Jesus now said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He said, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. He's just using agriculture, simple agriculture. That when you join a branch of a tree to the main tree, once it is joined, it will be bearing fruit. But if you cut it off, it cannot bear fruit. So now that we are joined to the Lord, we bear fruit. We carry his life. Is it clear to us?
Yes, sir.
And so by that joining, by that coming together, we, the life of God, the nature of God, the virtues in God, we now share it together with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so that's why a believer cannot say, I don't have all the nature of God, or I don't have all the life of God, or I don't have all the Holy Spirit. No, you can't say that, because it's joined to a tree, that tree. So everything that the root is supplying goes to the stem, from the stem to the branches. And so if you come to a branch that is not doing well, you just have to focus on the root. Once the tree is doing well, eventually the branch will do well. And so because we are parts of the body of Christ, right, we are bearing fruit. We have his life in us. I had to lay that foundation to show you something. So we carry the life of God, the nature of God, the abilities of God in us. Now, the part of what we received in that life of God is his intelligence. His intellect. I'm going to show you this in the Bible very shortly. His intellect. Are you following me? Are you following me? Let me show you a scripture. Because this is actually called, referred to as many things in many places in the Bible. The first one we're going to focus on is 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. He says, and of him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom. What? Give me NLT of this verse so that you understand what it means. NLT. He said, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made it to be wisdom himself. So he joined us to Christ. Give me a perfect classic. In that joining, he became our wisdom. He said, but it is, are you here? It is from him that you have your life in Christ Jesus. So we have our life from him. Now in him, Jesus is now our wisdom from God. Are you following me, friends? So we have the life of God in us. One of the things that life of God supplies to us is the very wisdom of God. The very intelligence that God works with. The very intellect of God. Now this is going to be shocking to many of you, but it's going to liberate you. And it's going to make you attempt new things in your life. Are you following me, friends? So in that union, give me like a Message Bible or maybe the Passion Translation. In that union, Christ is our wisdom. In other words, in that union, we do not have to try to be wise. There is wisdom that is installed in us by that union. That wisdom is Christ. So when Christ came into us, wisdom entered us. Now look at this. Everything that we have, right thinking and right living and clean slate and a fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. So because you are joined to him, right thinking, that is how God thinks. Oh yes, I'm reading that to myself. Let's see the Passion Translation. Passion Translation. Oh, yes. I like how it renders it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I wait for you to find it. He said, for it is not from man. That's passion. It is not from man that we draw our life, but from God. So it's from God that will draw our life. Is it very clear? He said, it's not from man that will draw our life, but from God. As we are being joined to Jesus, the anointed one. You know, he is now our God-given wisdom. So when you are joined to Christ, he gives you his very wisdom. To start with, that wisdom is him. So he said he is made unto us wisdom. He said, what do you mean by that? That wisdom is him. Remember that life is him too. He is that life. So he is that wisdom. What I'm trying to show is that when you came into Christ, there is a new intelligence that came into you. And this is going to help you. There is a new intelligence. There's a new intellect, right, that came into you. So it's called wisdom in some places. In some other places, let me show you one more. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Christ is our wisdom. So we have this intelligence. Proverbs 2, verse 6. It says, but the Lord giveth wisdom. And out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So when you come into Christ, one of the things he gives you is wisdom. In fact, Amplified Classic says the Lord giveth skillful and godly wisdom. So God gives you wisdom. So in the life of God that we received this intelligence. It's called wisdom. It's called wisdom. Let me show you another term used to refer to that. Elihu calls it the inspiration of the Almighty. That's Job 32 verse 8. So Paul called it the wisdom of God. Elihu calls it the inspiration. Job 32 and verse 8. He said, for there is a spirit in man. He said, the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. In fact, if the build-up of this is from, start from verse 4. So that I understand what Elihu was saying. Now, Elihu had waited till Job had spoken. Because they were elder than he. Because Job's three friends came and all of them were talking. So Elihu waited. So when they finished, when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of this man, then his wrath was kindled. He got angry. And Elihu, son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and you are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and does not show you my opinion. Right? He said, I said days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. Verse 8. He said, but there is a spirit in man. He said, I waited so that old age can talk. For you guys are not making any sense. Why? Because there is a spirit in man, the inspiration of the Almighty that makes it, gives him understanding. And so, in other words, Elihu is trying to imply that when you are joined with the Lord, that there is an inspiration he begins to give you that gives you a special kind of understanding. Are you following me this evening? Give me like Amplified Classic and other translations. Let's see. There is a vital force, a spirit of intelligence in man. The power of the Almighty. So when that spirit of God is working in you, that is a spirit of intelligence. That is a different kind of intelligence that you receive. I have the life of God. That's not a casual statement. That's a heavy statement. There is a vital force, a spirit of intelligence in man, and the bread of the Almighty gives man understanding. A spiritual force, a vital force is working in me. Give like other translations, NLT, Message, and all of that. NLT say there is a spirit within people, the spirit of the Almighty, that makes them intelligent. So Elihu is saying that there is an intelligence that old age cannot give, but the Spirit of God can give. Message Bible. He said, but I see I was wrong. It is God's Spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty One, that makes wise human insight possible. So the man that is in Christ receives such supernatural intelligence in him. My God. So Paul calls it wisdom. Solomon calls it wisdom. Elihu calls it the inspiration of the Almighty. Are you following me? Let me show you something else. Oh, yes. 1 Corinthians 2:16. 1 Corinthians 2:16. And this is gets a lot interesting. He said, for who had known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? He said, but we have the mind of Christ. So Paul talks about the mind of Christ. That word mind is translated from the Greek word nous, that's N-O-U-S. It means intelligence. It means intellect. So Paul is saying we have the intellect of Christ. Are you following me? You know, you've got to know what is working in you in Christ Jesus. We have the intellect, the mind of Christ, the understanding of Christ. You know, this verse actually, if you have your Amplified Classic in your phone, maybe or any translation, any Bible that has a cross reference. Do you have? Check your Bible. You have a cross reference? Have you seen the cross reference? Who has seen it? Raise your hand if you have seen it. Anybody? Isaiah 40. Huh? 40 verse what? Talk and be bold. You are right. It's in my notes. So I just wanted to find it yourself. So this verse is a quotation from Isaiah 40. 13. But Paul completed it. What did Isaiah 40, 13 say? He said, who had directed the spirit of the Lord? Or be his counselor? Or had taught him? Verse 14. He said, with whom took he counsel? And who instructed him? Who taught him in the path of judgment? So he's saying, who knows the word of the Lord? Go to verse 13. Put up other translations. He said, who has directed the spirit of the Lord? Or as his counselor has taught him? So he was asking a question. That's the same question that Paul asked in 1 Corinthians 2. And now answered it. Go to that 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16. Paul, Isaiah said, why are you guys changing translation? Who sent people on that job? So just stay where I told you to stay. So that same question Paul is asking, who had known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? That quotation came from Isaiah 40. So Isaiah was talking, saying, who knows the mind of God? Who can instruct God? Who can tell God what to do? He was trying to say, we can't think at God's level. But Paul asked the same question and now answered it and said, we have the mind of Christ. So what Isaiah thinks nobody can ever be, Paul is saying, we have the mind of Christ. Did you understand it? Yes. Give me like an NLT of this verse. So you get it. He said, for who can know the lost thoughts? This is Isaiah talking. Who knows enough to teach him? He said, but we understand these things. For we have the mind of Christ. So we can know the lost thoughts. Now, God doesn't need teaching, but we know enough. Say, how do we know enough? Because we have the very mind. If you have somebody's mind, you know everything the person knows. Are you following me, friends? Give me a Amplified Classic of this verse. He said, but who has known or understood the mind, the counsels, and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But, you know, when you see but, that's an answer to the question. But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the intellect, the intelligence of Christ. I get the point. It means, now, this is very serious. It means we can reason at a God level. You understand it? It means we can reason at a God level. It means we can understand these things at the level of God. You know, Isaiah was speaking in Isaiah 55 verse 8. And he raises very serious statements, which is true, which we quote sometimes. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than yours. And that's true. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Is that understandable? But the Bible now says we have the mind of Christ. And Christ is God. So that his ways and his thoughts that are higher than our thoughts. He has brought that his mind, that his thinking, that his intelligence into us. So we can reason at a God level. Are you following me? This is going to change how you see life. We can reason at a God level. So it means, oh yes. So Isaiah was saying that there's a difference between how man reasons and how God reasons. How man reasons and how God reasons, the distance between human reasoning and divine reasoning is as the heaven is far from the earth. But we have the mind of Christ. In other words, there is a difference between the believer and the unbeliever. And their reasoning should be as far as the heaven is from the earth.
Because the believer has received that very thinking and intellect of God. This is very serious. You have to understand it. You don't have to doubt it. Well, I've not heard this statement like this before. What is actually true? And I'm going to show you in the Bible. I'm going to show you. When, by the time I start showing you, now start thinking, oh, wow, it's true. Are you following me? You know, to help you see what this is, you know, there are other terms. If you read the Bible, you see the Bible talk about different kind of mind that people can have. For example, the Bible talks about a reprobate mind. There is a reprobate mind. That mind is, you know, it doesn't care about God. You find that in Romans 1 verse 28. It doesn't care about God. It doesn't think God's thoughts. In fact, the reprobate mind, as Paul explained it, thinks lower than humans. So that is the human level of thinking. The reprobate mind thinks. So he began to give an example in Romans 1 as examples of people who even men who join themselves to animals. That's not even up to human level of thinking. So they become very reprobate in their mind. They don't care. So they join themselves to their fellow men. You see a man and a man. That's a reprobate thinking. He doesn't care. So he thinks that he's just being stubborn. He doesn't want to accept God. But actually what is happening is he's thinking at a very low level. Are you following me? Then there is other people that the Bible calls people that have a vain mind. You find that in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17, 18 and 19. They have a vain mind. They are driven by vanity. The Bible says they walk in the vanity of their mind. These are unbelievers. This is how they walk. Everything is vain. So you see them, everything is about the money. Everything is about just vain things. That's how they reason. If an unbeliever has, you know, a job offer that is going to pay him 1 million naira, but it's going to take him away from his family, and he'll be seeing his children once every week, he doesn't mind. That's vain thinking. The reason they walk in the vanity of their mind. Are you following me? In the vanity of their mind. And that's the kind of thought pattern you find all over the world. All over the country. And there are some other people, the Bible calls that they have a corrupt mind. You find that in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 5, their mind is corrupt. They just think evil. They just think of how, so if they are broke, how would they get money? I will just steal. If you just keep your phone anyhow, I go collect them. Corrupt mind. Are you following me? They think, some of them think, that's 1 Timothy 6 verse 5. Come on. Some of them think that gain is godliness. So it's just about making money. 6 verse 5. I have many scriptures this evening, so you guys really have to be up to it. It says, pervert disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. He said, from such withdraw yourself. So people can have corrupt mind. They're just thinking about anything evil. Anything evil. So if he's broke, what's the way to get money? How can I scam whoever? A corrupt mind. They think at that level. This is actually human reasoning. I'm just showing you. Men reason at the level of vanity. Men reason at the level of corruption. But that is the God level. Are you following you? In 2 Timothy 3 verse 8, Paul talks about the same corruption that people can have, a corrupt mind. He said, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. People can be corrupt. Corrupt their mind. The only thing they're thinking about is corruption, how to, you know, nothing is pure in their heart. They don't care. If they feel that they have sexual urge, they will look for anybody to sleep with. If they can't find anybody to sleep with, they will grab one person and rape the person. Corrupt mind. Reprobate. They don't care about anything. I get it. That's the human level of reasoning. If some of them is even below human level. Because a normal human being should not reason like that. Some of them is animal level. Are you following me? That some of them lower than animals. Because even animals don't do some things that human beings do. I've never seen a male animal say he wants to become a female animal. Are you following me? And, you know, it's their intelligence. It's how they think. And when you see them defending those things, you see they even sound smart. So when a child is born, he should be given the freedom to choose. Have you ever heard any of those lectures? So choose. Because somebody can be, imagine when you're a man locked up in a woman's body. So, you see the reasoning. The problem, I try to make it make sense, but it's not making any sense in my head. Men of corrupt mind. Who reason differently. So, some are corrupt. Some other people, the Bible calls them people that have a fleshly mind. That's Colossians 2 verse 18. A fleshly mind. That word fleshly actually talks about people who are sensual in their reasoning. Meaning they reason from the senses. Everything is about how they feel, and this is where the brightest of human minds are. That's where the brightest are. They just judge with what they can see, what they can feel. Let's calculate. If we calculate and it is this and that, then we go with it. That's sensual in their reasoning. They work with the five. Give me an Amplified Classic of this. Bible said they are very puffed up by his fleshly mind. Give me an Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic says, just was, and he said, very puffed up by his sensuous notions, you know, and infected by his own spiritual thoughts. So it's just, that's the human mind. They work with the senses. That's the brightest of human minds. I remember a doctor was telling me, he said, one of those days in India, when they were still students in the medical school, they brought them to a room. The professor was teaching them, you know, they were working on a dead body, all this cadaver, that's what they call it. They were working on a dead body. And the man was like, this is where you find the heart, this is where you find it. The man now told them, do you see the soul? There is no soul here. Can you see soul? They said no. Said there is no soul. That's how human minds reason. Because as far as they're concerned, if we can't see it, if we can't feel it, if we can't touch it, then it doesn't exist. That's the human mind. That's the level. That's the brightest of human minds. So we call it science. Are you following me? What you can see, what you can touch, what you can feel, what you can experiment, what you can prove. That's reasoning with the mind. Amazing. That's where many Christians are in their thinking. But there is a higher intelligence. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And many of you, your mind is going to explode. Yes, because you see that there are many things we ignore in our walk of faith. We did not just receive the Holy Ghost to be speaking in tongues and be going up and down. There are things installed in us that make us different from the world. There's a higher intelligence. There's a higher intelligence. So they say, we can't see. Can you see the mind? So there's nothing like. So they can also argue there's nothing like the mind. Because we can't see mind. There's nothing like that. Now, there are the same people that will teach you that there are abstract nouns. You know, that's right. But they say, no, there is no soul because you can't see soul. There is no spirit because you can't see spirit. So when we say man is a spirit, they say it's a lie. Man is man. Because we can't see spirit. But then they believe there is love, even though we cannot see love. Sensual mind. And when you see them argue, even if you're not careful, you'll be saying, he has a point. Because it sounds smart. I say this is where the smartest of human beings are. Judge with the mind what they can see, what they can touch. But the Bible is telling us that there is a spirit in man. Do you know, if you read the conversations that the friends of Job had with him, they made sense, humanly speaking. If you have time, go and read it. They made sense. They proved to Job, they blamed Job, they blamed God, they blamed everybody in the conversation. They made logical sense. This human, I'm talking about logical reasoning. They made logical sense. But the only who said all of that is rubbish. Because there's a spirit in man that gives one understanding. In other words, you guys spoke from the flesh. You guys spoke from the human perspective. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So all of that, you find it. Of course, that is the unrenewed mind. Now, this is important because this unrenewed mind, Romans 12 verse 2, this unrenewed mind, this one is born again.
So he has, and this is where many believers are. He has the Spirit of God in him. He has the mind of Christ. But you know about what I taught you? The mind of Christ and all of this we have, where is he located? In our spirit man. Do you remember that? Now, he has not been renewed. So what it means is that, though he has it in his spirit man, that he's not working in it practically. Because he has not allowed it to dominate his mind. So look at this. In your spirit man, you have the mind of Christ. But you still have a mind. The center of reasoning and all of that. Renewing your mind is feeding your mind with the content of your spirit. I feel what I'm saying now. Until the content of your spirit, which is the mind of Christ, takes over your human mind. And you now begin to reason at a God level, which is the level where your spirit is located. So you notice the Bible said, be not conformed to this world. Watch, you get it now. But be transformed. How? Talk to me. By what? By what? When you renew your mind, what happens? That you may prove what is what? The good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So watch. So the word prove there is the Greek word dokimazo. It means to discern. It means to know. So he's saying when you renew your mind, you will be able to know what the will of God is. You will be able to understand the counsels of God when you renew your mind. Why will you be able to understand the will of God? Because when you renew your mind will begin to function at the level of intelligence that your spirit carries. Oh God. Did you hear what I said now? Your spirit carries an intelligence. When you renew your mind, which is to feed your mind with the content of your spirit, your mind will now begin to function at that same level of intelligence that your spirit carries. Then you will be able to know what is the acceptable will of God. In Amplified Classic, let's look at this again. Let's read together. Come on, that's not everybody. Add your voice. Let's go. Fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. So when you renew your mind, remember your spirit already has that mind of Christ. Okay. Your spirit already has that spiritual intelligence. Do you understand it? Your spirit already has that wisdom of God. When you begin to renew your mind, which I will show you how we're going to do it, not today, maybe tomorrow. When you begin to renew your mind, what you are allowing is you are letting the intelligence that is locked up in your spirit man now take over your mind. You will now begin to reason at a different level. That's where you can now know, okay, that is the will of God. That is what God wants. That's not what God wants. That is wrong. That is right. So you are taking it at a different level. That cannot happen. So without a renewed mind, without that mind of Christ. So the natural man, what it means, he cannot discern the things of the spirit. He can't understand this at a God level. He's just at the level of his natural intellect. Are you following me? Let's see. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. Let's read everything. Verse 1. This part of the teaching is always the toughest. Because I'm trying to lay strong foundation. And many of you are coming new into this whole knowledge. So it's going to help. Are you here? Say, I have understanding.
I have understanding.
Say, I don't have a blockhead.
I don't have a
blockhead. Okay, let's go together. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but now watch. He said, how be it we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to us. So that is the wisdom of the world. That is the wisdom of the princes. Do you know who are the princes of this world? The leaders, the brightest minds of this world. He said, we don't speak their wisdom. Are you following me? Give me like an answer of this verse. He said, when I'm among mature believers, I do speak out of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. So that is a wisdom we speak. But it's not the regular wisdom you find just in the marketplace. It's not the wisdom that belongs to the brightest of minds on earth. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. It gets interesting. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified. So you find out that one of the things that having this wisdom of God, or this mind of God does to you, is that it helps you to understand the plans of God. The purposes of God. Because if the princes were that wise, if they had that God wisdom, that God level wisdom, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. Because had they known, but because they didn't understand from the higher level of knowledge, they just saw Jesus as one man threatening them, so they took his life. Had they known, because they don't have that kind of wisdom, they crucified Jesus. Now we accept Jesus and walk with him because we know what they don't know. And so this God level wisdom or this intelligence, it helps us to understand the salvation plan of God for mankind. Let me pause now to say, this is why when you are explaining the gospel to a professor, a very smart professor, he thinks you are stupid. That's what Paul is saying here. The brightest of mind can't understand redemption. It takes a level of spiritual intelligence to understand redemption. To understand that, Jesus died, okay, and then he rose again. So you guys are mad. And now he's at the Father's right hand. And to worsen it, he's not living inside my heart. So inside how many of your hearts is he living? All of our hearts. So how many is Jesus? How can he stay in the heart of 10 people? So even if they cut him into small, small pieces, what quantity is in your heart? That is human reasoning. I get what I'm saying now. They don't understand it. So without that spiritual intelligence, you really cannot understand the works of redemption. You can't understand because had they known, had they, you know the point is, God and human wisdom are just too different. The Israelites, we are actually expecting Jesus to come. They were expecting a Messiah. They didn't know that it was Jesus. Do you know why? They were walking with the senses. They were expecting that if Jesus, the king, is going to come, he won't be born in a manger. He has to be born as a rich man. He has to come and raise an army and fight the Roman Empire and stop them. Human reasoning. What you can see, what you can touch, what you can feel. We want to see power. But then he comes as a very simple person. Are you following me, friends? So that is a wisdom of God that human mind cannot carry. It helps you understand the salvation plan, which is why, now let me digress to say, which is why when we go to preach the gospel to unbelievers, we pray for them. Do you know why? The natural human mind cannot understand the message of the gospel. It doesn't make any sense. You see, walk around the world. Now, let me ask you a question. What is the most generally accepted message in the world, no matter your religion? Love. That's the highest the human mind. Not even the God kind of love, human love. Care for people. Love people. Just do things for them. Do philanthropy. That's what their mind can carry. But if you begin to talk about believing in Jesus, he will change you from inside out. He will put the nature. He say, you don't have sense. What are you saying? He will blot out all your sins. And when you die, you are going to heaven. They say, what is this one talking about? Is he mad? Because the best of the human minds,
And I've had a professor say to me, or say to us, I've read the Bible cover to cover. It doesn't make any sense. Real. And he's right. So I read the cover, it doesn't make any sense. Now, that's the best they can know. That is why I'm going to get to it very shortly. Do you observe who we are the people? Who we are the people that carry the gospel message after Jesus left? Fishermen, unlearned men, but they were carrying it. What the best of minds couldn't carry, fishermen carried. Because there is a spirit in man. There is an intelligence that only God can give. Are you following me, friends? There's an intelligence that is at the God level. So, the human mind cannot understand what is all this what people are saying. So, there was a man called Philip who we don't know anything about his academic qualification. Then, the Holy Ghost took him and he met an Ethiopian eunuch who was a wealthy man, who was well educated. How do we know he was elected? He was working with the queen of Ethiopia. Yet this man, Ethiopian eunuch, was reading the Bible and understood nothing. Are you following me? Because it's not human reasoning. But then this uneducated Philip just asked him, do you understand what they are saying? He said, how can I understand? He said, fine, let me teach you. In less than 10 minutes, he blew the guy's mind. The best of minds in Ethiopia could not understand the Bible. He took an illiterate to put him through. That is spiritual intelligence. That's why the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4 that when they heard Peter and John, that's Acts 4:13, they were shocked. Do you know why? Because they knew that they were unlearned men. In fact, Amplified Classic says that they saw the eloquence. When they saw the boldness and unfettered eloquence of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and untrained in the schools. That knowledge was not common. They were common men, rather, with no educational advantages. Yet they were speaking with so much eloquence that these guys were like, who is this one? You know what shocked them? What shocked the scribes? They were explaining the Old Testament. Yes. The Pharisees and the scribes, you know, all they did all their life was to read the Old Testament. That's what they were studying. So, here is Peter and John, who didn't know anything, carrying the same Old Testament, and we explained it with so much wisdom. They were like, who are these guys? The eloquence, the intelligence, the boldness, that is supernatural intelligence. So, Paul is saying, if the prince of this world had known that intelligence, they would have crucified the Lord of glory. They would have left him to live. They would have been happy. They would have embraced him when he came. I get to the point. They would have loved him. But they didn't pick it. Who is this person? Go back to that 1 Corinthians 2. Oh, yes. But as it is written, I had not seen, I'm in verse 9, yet nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Many people read this verse and they begin to claim it. They begin to say, let me tell you, God is about to bless you. I have not seen what he will do for you. No, that scripture is not for you. He said, I had not seen, ear had not heard, and all of that. But look at the next verse. He said, but. Somebody say, but. But God had revealed them to us. So that which I had not seen and ear had not heard, God has now revealed to us by his spirit. I had not seen, ear had not heard, because the human mind could not carry it. God had revealed to the spirit. Say, for the spirit searched all things, yet the deep things of God. What are those things God revealed to us? Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Verse 12, let it together. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us in Christ. So you need that spirit of God to know what is given to you in Christ.
Part of what that intelligence delivers to us is that it helps us see what we have in Christ. That's why Paul, we ask them to pray in Ephesians 1 that the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Because you need a special revelation to understand what you have in Christ. The human mind cannot carry it. That man is now righteous. Doesn't make any sense. So you want to tell me now that as you're standing, you're righteous. Yes, you guys are just proud. The human mind can carry it. Are you following me? So to know the things that are in Christ, the things that are freely given to us in Christ, it takes the Spirit of God. It is those things freely given to us in Christ that Isaiah quoted to have said, I have not seen, ye have not heard. It has not come into man's heart. Man cannot reason it. Are you following me, friends? Even when if man hears it, he cannot understand it. But then, why? Because it tells us it's only the spirit of a man that can reveal the thoughts of the man. He said, now we've received the Spirit of God, and that Spirit has now told us and shown us all that God has for us in Christ Jesus. So that spiritual intelligence helps us understand what Christ has done. Helps us understand what we have in Him. Do you understand that? So you see a Christian like Paul saying, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I die, I will go to heaven. It's like us. How are people so sure? It takes another level of intelligence. Are you following what I'm saying? How are people so sure? So you see us say things like, I'm righteous in Christ. Say, ah. Or we say things like, it takes a different level of science. Science. To believe that someone can have cancer. And if I lay hands on the person, the cancer will disappear. That's no human reasoning. The things freely given to us in Christ. I was watching A. Allen those days. He will see some of those cancers that would come out in the body. He will say, I'm going to touch it and it will shrink into my hands. He will touch it. Bam, it will fall off into his hand. It takes a level. How can you understand? That's not scientifically proven. The things freely given to us in Christ. It takes a new kind of intelligence to assess it, to understand itself. So when we say the things we say and people doubt us, don't worry. If you can't force it into them. So Paul will just pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul teaches us that when we go to preach to sinners, that we should pray because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Because they can never get what you are saying. That when someone believes in Jesus, okay, I can now touch someone that is blind. Do you even know what caused the blindness? That is what we call glaucoma. If you hold your eye, that is what we call, what are those eyes? Astigmatism. That's what caused it. It has degenerated to a certain level. Now, even if you go through scientific, whatever, you have to take this drug, we did a corrective surgery. And after all of that, you just say, I'm going to put my hand on your eyes. Say you are mad. And sincerely, I think you are. So, the world can't understand the things we share. They don't understand the things we believe, the things we claim that we have. Doesn't make any sense to them. And notice we begin to claim that we have these things even before we see it manifest. There are some of you that have never put your hands on a blind person for the person to see. But somehow, as I studied the Bible, you know that you can. You see that you can. You believe that you can. And you've never done it. It takes a different level of madness to believe that. Because somebody cannot ask you, have you ever opened blind eyes for you? Say no. Can you do it? Yes. How do you know you can do it? The Bible tells me so. You don't have sense. This Bible that white people brought to come and deceive you. It takes a different level of reasoning. Paul said that we may know what is freely given to us in Christ. In Christ. So it takes that level of intelligence for us to know. Are you here? It was after he now said this that in verse 13, after he now spoke about this in verse 13, he now said, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things. In other words, you are using spiritual words to explain spiritual things. That's what it means. Using spiritual words to explain spiritual things. Can I add? Using spiritual words to explain spiritual things to spiritual people. They can get it. That's why I can tell you, the preaching of the gospel, the normal human mind cannot preach the gospel. They cannot. If you are saying, he can't even understand or believe it. He said, but look at verse 14, what I've been saying since morning. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. The human mind, at that level, it doesn't make any sense. He cannot know them, because this is as spiritually discerned. What does it mean spiritually discerned? It takes a new level of intelligence to understand them. So what is that level of intelligence? See the next verse, verse 15. He said, but he that is spiritual, to tell all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16, he said, but for who had known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have, you see how we came to that point? We have the mind of Christ. So the spirit, the natural man cannot understand anything you are saying. Because that's spiritually discerned. He's saying, because it takes having the mind of Christ. It takes having the wisdom of God. It takes having that intelligence to discern it. To understand it. For it to make sense to your mind. For you to even believe it. Are you getting the point? So I started with this to show you that it's an intelligence that we carry. Let me now bring it down. What I'm saying is, no believer is dull. He just doesn't know. Let me tell you, you've believed the most unbelievable thing on earth. You've understood the most misunderstood thing on earth. You've understood the most complicated thing on salvation. So you are not dull. Yes. Like, that's why I've told you guys when I'm starting. I don't believe any believer is dull. Like, if he's a believer, so he was able to understand that Jesus went to the cross and died, and that by his dying, he's at the Father's right hand, he's not living in our hearts, he has changed us. Do you know how complicated that is? You know, we make it very simple. When pastor teaches, it's very simple. It's not simple, though. It's simple to your hearing because of that Spirit of God in you. God placed one person out there and say, what is this one say? The only reason why it now makes sense to them is because I'm using spiritual words to explain spiritual terms. So somehow the Holy Ghost will now convict their hearts. And they now get born again and lives in their hearts and now begins to explain it further to them. Minus that, what I'm saying does not make any sense. Are you following me? That's why, you know, there was a place Paul went to preach. Bible said they were gathering every day to hear him talk. Not because they liked, they believed what they were saying. They were shocked. Who is this madman? Maybe they just got my listen. The Greeks, those guys love knowledge. He will talk to say, they will go, come back tomorrow. Every day. Say they were hearing him because he was setting forth a new doctrine. They didn't understand it. They said, this one, let's go again. That man, he can talk. And he said, he don't understand. They didn't get them. That's how Paul spoke to a point to Festus. And Festus told him, so much learning has made you mad. Because I think words are now jamming in your brain. It's all following me this day. But we have the mind of Christ. We can understand these things. We can explain these things. We can. So, today I want you to see this. Because you understand the basic, what you call basic realities you have in Christ, you are operating with a supernatural intelligence. Let me take it further and close. Tomorrow is going to be powerful. Apart from this understanding of spiritual things, other things we have in this wisdom of God, because I've shown you that by the wisdom of God or by the mind of Christ or spiritual intelligence, whatever term you want to use, that we are able to understand the salvation plan, what Christ has done, what you have in Him. Another ability it gives us is that it helps us to have understanding even in the affairs of this life. Just that we'll have that understanding beyond the human level. This is going to bless you. That's why Job 32:8, there is a spirit in man. The breath of the Almighty that gives him understanding. That's why Psalm 119 verse 99. That's why you don't understand. David now said, I have more understanding than my teachers. That's Psalm 119 verse 99. I have more understanding than my teachers. So someone can actually, so it's not just that this life of God and this intelligence helps us understand salvation and all of that. Even in the affairs of this life, it can help you understand beyond the human level what is being explained. I'm going to begin to assess this thing I'm saying from now. Give me another translation. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Another translation. He said, I have more insights than my teachers. And we're going to see this tomorrow. Do you know how we got to that place? Meditation. Yes. Amplified Classic. We'll look at it tomorrow. Because meditation is one of the major ways to release that life of God to your spirit, to your mind. We've been talking about that. He said, I have better understanding and deeper insights than all my teachers. Because your testimonies are my meditation. Because I meditate on the word of God, I have understanding more than all of them. So when I'm talking, I'm seeing 4 steps ahead of them. So what I'm telling you is the reality of every believer. So I don't believe that any child that grows up under this commission now will be dull in class. I don't believe it. We just have to let him know that there is a faculty of reasoning working in him now that will make him understand at a different level. I'm going to show you how it happened in the Bible. A few persons. It will shock you. It will shock you to see. I have more understanding. I have deeper insight. In other words, when my teachers are talking, I'm seeing this from a higher perspective than them. So, a believer should not go to class and be the worst in class. I don't believe in that. This is not to encourage academic excellence or anything. I'm just telling you what I believe. By what is working, by that spirit of understanding, by that intelligence. You shouldn't be the one that gets things last. Because it carries a mind. So why is it not happening to me yet? That's why you are in this class now. Because the first level is to know that you have it. So we can have answers. If I go to that Proverbs 2 verse 6, let me show you this. Proverbs 2 verse 6. So that we'll look at it again with Amplified Classic. Proverbs 2 verse 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, for the Lord gives what kind of wisdom? Skillful and godly wisdom. So when he said the Lord gives wisdom, it's not just wisdom to be able to quote Bible. That is skillful wisdom. Wisdom to answer questions. Wisdom to solve difficult problems. And come just because you're a believer. And I'm going to show you how it can happen. How it will happen tomorrow. And next. Just because you are a believer. Just because you carry that intelligence. You have insight. You might be a believer who bakes cake. You have a different level of insight. And I'm going to make it very practical. You can see it in the Bible that it happened to people. Can I give you a very perfect example? The man Joseph in Egypt. Now, by spiritual insight, he interpreted dreams. Genesis 41 verse 25. But it's not just that he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. Because interpreting dream is also spiritual insight. It's also higher intelligence. Because nobody can interpret dream, like that kind of dream. But look at verse 34. He said something. Do you know? This thing Joseph said in verse 34. He said, let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land. Is what is being practiced all over the world today. He told them to begin to save 20%. Where did that wisdom come from? Before Joseph, nobody has ever done it. Today we teach it in economics. But it was by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that it came. In fact, what we call taxation today, Joseph came up with it. Yes. Taxation. Now, he has never been to school. From keeping his father's sheep to prison. Are you following me? From fathership to Potiphar's house to prison to the palace to solving. So Joseph solved a global problem just by the inspiration of the Almighty. And there is a believer in this place who is thinking that all he exists for is just to be in his small corner. You don't know what you just received in your spirit. You don't know. I want want to challenge you and show you by God's word that there is something that's dropped. There's a different faculty. And that's why, you know, when I was in school, I believed so much that anything I cannot do, anything I did not do, I don't want to do it. Yes, I still believe it's more. I can learn anything I want to learn. So that's what I have strength to learn it. That is an intelligence. But apart from school and all of that, some of you, before the end of this, you know, there was a day I told you by the Spirit that you should expect divine ideas. Do you remember that day? That season has come now. For some of you, you will come up with ideas that will solve permanent problems. By the time you study, you will find out that half, if not three quarter, of people who we call inventors on earth, we are believers. Yes. Including the Wright brothers. Strong believers. And they will tell, some of them will tell you, I was just meditating, I was just praying, and this thing came. So, Joseph said, let's save a fifth part. Later, when the food began to finish and hunger came, Joseph began to, that's how the taxation came. He told them to start bringing a part. You know, they planned it. Wisdom. To solve a normal problem by the Spirit of God. So, God's Spirit does not just empower our minds, or we don't have the mind of Christ just to be able to use it to understand Bible. I just started from the Bible to show you that the most complicated reality on earth, man, has you've understood it. That is the most unthinkable thing anybody can understand. That even some people who are professors in physics and science cannot still understand the Bible. Now think about that. Some of the brightest minds can't understand the Bible. But you understand it. You understand salvation. The natural man can't carry it, but you can carry it. Don't you also think you can draw from that supernatural wealth and effect a change? You know, the part that God made thinking really is Noah. Noah built an ark. What's an ark again? He built a built ship, boat. Has never seen sheep in his life. Has never seen boat in his life. Went to the place of prayer. God described boats to him. Gave him the measurement, the specification, and he built it. And he floated. And he didn't sink. Can you think about that? Can you reason that? Can you reason that? And the believer in his line does not believe that God can drop an idea in his spirit that can shift the entire culture. I want you to begin to see things differently. Because this mind of Christ in us. So remember what I said. We are thinking at a God level. We were able to see problems at a God level. At a God level. Now, what I was listening to one of the guys that I think was the airplane thing. What gave them the idea of an airplane? They saw a bird, spread the wings and fly. And that's why airplanes are crafted like birds. I'm telling you. Because by the time you look, you find out that God has put every wisdom you need in some areas of nature. So when they saw how the birds, they say, oh, that's how, and they came up with it. That inspiration does not just come from anything. Do you know that it is believed? Now, whether you agree with it or not, it's your business. I'm just telling you. It is believed that there are witches in all these Western countries. Not like witches who fly at night. Like witches. White witches. I've heard of it. And most of them use their witchcraft powers to invent things. And people really believe that that's true. Now, let's assume that that is true. Let's assume it is true. So someone can use his witchcraft power, Jesus Christ, to invent something that is being used globally. And there is a believer carrying this intelligence. And we are still doubting whether God can talk to you about an invention. So who is the devil counterfeiting? You know he counterfeits God. The same thing God is doing for Noah. Teaching him, For the first time, Satan never knew that man could invent anything. But men began to do it by the Spirit of the Almighty. He said, oh wow, I can teach people to do the same. With a bad agenda now. I want you to begin to think beyond where you are. So that in your prayer, you can begin to expect things differently. Because you already carry an intelligence. So I was reading that Noah story. So God told Noah, he gave him the height, the width of the boat. Gave him how many windows to put. Are you aware? How many windows to put so that they will not suffocate inside. And this man has never seen a boat in his life. Never. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, make the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, the height 30 cubits. Yes. The window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. The door of the ark shall thou set. He told him how to explain. So, this is a man practicing an engineer who never went to school. Are you getting what I'm talking about? What is this engineering? I wish we know the kind of possibilities we have in the God life. So today, if somebody tells you that I was in my room and God told me I'll manufacture something, and yesterday you say it's a lie. So you find out we become our own limitation. Are you following what I'm saying now? We become our own limitation. So Noah sat in his room, got detail on how to make something he has never seen. And he made it. When rain fell, the thing floated. They floated. There's a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. So we can think at a God level. Who has known the mind of God that he can counsel him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, another example. Bezalel and Aholiab. Exodus 31 verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses. Now, 31 verse 1 quickly. Exodus 31 verse 1. The Lord spoke unto Moses saying, verse 2. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, and of the tribe of Judah. Right? And I have filled him with what? With what? In wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Verse 4, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, to work in silver, to work in brass. So the Spirit of God empowered this guy to be able to work in gold and brass and silver. Do you understand what I'm saying now? He says, what if he had the training? Well, I don't know if he had the training, but the Bible tells us that God said, I have filled him with the Spirit. In other words, even if he had the training, he will work at a different level of excellence. Because he's now doing it, not just with the regular thing he got in class, but with a different level of understanding. Yes. I've heard believers who are into tech tell me, first of those stories, how they were trying to crack a certain code and all of that, and they were stuck. He said, I went to pray. And I prayed, I came back, I got the code, I wrote it, and it worked. Yes. That's higher intelligence. We carry this thing. Let me say this to you. The Bible says, do not conform to this world. Let us not just go all, let me talk to fashion designers. Right? Let's not just go out into copying all the worldly fashion. Because that's the selling style. That's the style that will pay. That's the style that is reigning. And then we are copying all those things. And if you look at those styles, you cannot doubt where it is coming from. How do you know? It is nudity. It is the devil. It's that lower level of knowledge. Now, Pastor Henry Onyedikachi said that any style of clothes that is showing people's breasts and their buttocks is inspired by the devil. If life is speaking in tongues. It's the devil that inspired it.
So God inspired you to show and show somebody's bumbo, somebody's breast. God did not speak to you. You are still at a lower level of reasoning. God can inspire. And it will come out clean. It will not be archaic. And come on, God inspired, it will sell. It will change the market, I'm telling you. It can change the market. Think of some of us experiences. Some of you, you know, there are people who call songwriters who sit down in their room and are writing songs. But some of you, you can just be praying and the full song will come. As in, you didn't plan a full verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. And you write, they say, where did you get it from? It tells you that the Spirit of God can empower you to do what men do in the natural. Sometimes you sleep and wake up with a full song. I mean, you sleep and wake up with verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, chorus, bridge. Are you following me? Bezalel and Aholiab. So the life of God is not just for us to, you know, carry. Tomorrow I'm going to show you. Maybe tomorrow or next, we're going to see. That by this, you know, the Bible tells us that the wisdom of God makes people rich. Yes. Makes people very, not rich, like, it's not like I have my money is not riches. Like rich in money. Rich in money. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So a man can become more. And it's not for you to start praying, Father, I receive the mind of Christ. The Bible said we have. Now that's the shocking thing. He didn't say pray. He said we have. So if you see the Bible teach, he tells us to pray to walk in wisdom or walk in revelation. What is revelation? To walk to the point where you understand what you already have. Revelation is to reveal, not to possess. Is it not true? So I say, pray for revelation. In other words, pray that you will know what you have. Because we have the mind of Christ. So a medical doctor can operate. Hey, Mandula Kande. I don't want to say something that you don't go and. But I've seen these things. Whereby the Spirit will just know what to do. I've heard stories of a man, they were in their office working, and it was a difficult situation. And they've tried everything they know to do. I went to his boss and said, can I suggest something? He said, let's try this. The boss said, it doesn't make any logical sense. He said, well, I know, but I just feel it's going to work. He said, can you put something on the line? He said, I put my job on the line, it will work. He said, he was so sure. He said, that doesn't make any logical sense. But he tried it. The boss, this guy is a genius. That's why if you believe you understand, you function at a genius level. Because you are thinking at a whole different, remember, his ways and human ways are as far as the east, and from heaven is from the earth. And now we have the mind of Christ. So we can think at his way level. Amen. Let me digress to say, this is why, that is what I know. Some of you that are here that come to me for counseling, there are some things I tell you. Sometimes you come to me, because being a pastor is supernatural. You must function at that God level. Sir, I have a problem with my career. I will give you counsel. It will work. And I always announce, I'm not a business strategist too. When people come to me, I've given business strategies that have worked 10 times better than the best. Yes. And I don't claim to know business. But there's a spirit in man. Yes. There's a spirit in man. I see enough people come with different kind of problems. I began to handle marital issues. Gave me marital issues that would have stopped a divorce before I was married. As in divorce that has been set in motion. I counseled the woman and says, look at what you do. She did it. Divorce ended. Now, how did I come about all of that? There is a spirit that gives man understanding. Are you following me now? Yes. Lily said, I think we're going to go a separate ways. I've told you guys the story, Abby. And I said, why? She said, we don't feel it again. I said, I'm going to give you a simple advice. She says, yes. I said, take your children to your parents and all of that. Both of you should go on vacation. Just do this when you get there. She said, it's not going to work. I said, just go and do it. Somebody said, that's normal. Everybody should know that now. Why didn't they do it? Are you following me now? And how should I know it? I was not married. I was very young. I was not even thinking of getting married. I was not even praying about marriage. I get to the point. You know, Brother Eggie used to share this. Say one of the things that amazes him about the pastoral ministry is the wisdom that follows it. He said he was sitting somewhere and he heard a younger pastor, younger than him. He was an older minister. And somebody brought a problem to him and shared a difficult problem. He said, and where he was like, man, this guy is in hot soup. Because even him does not know the answer. He said, but the guy just said, oh, well, that's very easy. Just give it. He said, he was shocked. And the Lord told him, that's the allocation he has. He's a pastor. So that is there's wisdom at that level. I get what I'm saying now. That's why, let me digress. That's why if you're a pastor, you have to be careful. Many pastors have lost their calling. I don't know why God is bringing this very strong in my heart. Many pastors have lost their calling because of this thing I'm telling you. Because when you're a pastor, you find out that you can give counsel on any matter. Some have become business analysts. You know, I get what I'm saying now. Because what I said a few minutes ago about politics and governance, somebody could hear it and say, man, this guy knows something. Before you know, they called me for another event to come and talk on politics and governance. Of course, they paid to talk. It's not preaching. Before you know, you are leaving ministry. You are now a financial analyst, a political analyst. No. That thing that God gives just what you need for your ministry. You don't need to leave your calling. But then we all carry that intelligence. Are you following me? At different levels. For what you need. So, Bezalel and all of that. Another example, maybe Daniel in Babylon. Rose from being a slave to he became a president. Say yes. There were three presidents because they put the governors under different presidents. Daniel was one. If at the time the king said that he said the spirit of the gods is in him, the guy was too wise. He was too not spiritual wisdom. Of course, he also has spiritual insight because the latter part of the book of Daniel, he prophesied. He gave visions of what will happen later. Have you read the latter part of Daniel? Very interesting prophecies. But then, when it has to do with governance, he had this insight and the wisdom. It is not prophecy that will make somebody make you a governor. He had the leadership insight and just by the Spirit of God. You don't have a dull head. And even if you think you do, as we progress in this teaching, you will see how you can launch out into the wealth of this of intelligence that is in your spirit and put it here. And you begin to do this at a different level. At a different level. At a different level. And I'm teaching you this because I feel strongly it is time for those things to begin to happen. But some of you will come up with inventions that will change the world. Yes. New ways of doing things in your field. New strategies, new ideas. And if you've been trying this and not been working, you just go and the Lord will say, do this and do that. You come up with new ways and then new ways of selling. New ways of marketing. New ways of branding. New ways of exploring. New ways of leading. Yes. New ways. New ways. God can give it to you. And God is giving it to you. But you have the mind of Christ. No matter if I'm still very quiet because you're still trying to digest that these things are possible. I see some of you have never thought about it that way. That the Spirit of God, that we carry an intelligence. I call it spiritual intelligence. It's higher knowledge. You know, they say human beings have And they are higher animals because they have a higher intelligence than animals. And I'm telling you, the believer is a higher, higher animal. Because he's not even an animal. He's a spirit man. He's a spirit being. At a higher level. Because you oppress a different level of intelligence. That's why we see, tomorrow I'll touch other things before we get to inventions and all that. That's why you see, there will be a situation. Let me give an example of this high intelligence. There might be a situation. Somebody has annoyed you. Human intelligence will say, see, if they do you, you do back. That's revenge. The higher intelligence will say, forgive him. And I wonder what's wrong with you. But it's, I guess what I'm saying, we reason at a higher level. You can carry that in into your workplace. Now, when they have a difficult thing to solve, you just look at it and say, well, I think we can do this. Do you know, I'll talk about that tomorrow or next. Do you know, when Daniel came, and what the king was demanding was hard. Tell me my dream. Tell me the winning. He didn't know what to do. Because people think, nah, Daniel just has gift of interpreting dream. It's not true. It's not true. There's no gifts like that. But then he told us how he interpreted those dreams. I get the point. When the king said, tell me my dream. And everybody couldn't do it. And Daniel asked the king to give them time. I think it was 3 days. Yes. I think it was 3 days. And they went. And they prayed. What did they do? They consulted that higher intelligence. They consulted that spiritual intellect. And he came back and said, I know the dream. The guy was so shocked. He has never seen anything like that. We don't operate at this level. Are you following me? We don't. So what others read and cannot understand, you can look at it. Look at it again. Say, give me that, let me study it. And you come back with the answer. Yes. When business hits the rock, that's why if you understand this thing, all this, going up and down, there is an intelligence you carry. Actually, when you come to me for counseling, when your life has hit a rock, you know what I do? I consult that intelligence and give you an answer. If you consult it too, you get the same answer. You are smarter than you appear. You carry the life of God. That's what I'm trying to say. Oh, yes. We are not dull people. No, we are not. We are not. If you see the way the Israelites won battles, you will see that intelligence in them. Sometimes, you know, let me say, sometimes the strategies may not make any sense to anybody. It doesn't make sense to you. You can explain it. Are you following me? It might not make any sense to anybody. When Gideon was telling them, for instance, that 300 people are going to go and fight, and they will go with pitcher and with trumpets, they say, guys, this guy doesn't have sense. But that's the wisdom of God. We don't operate at this level. Some of you will observe that some of the things that will make you the number one in the industry is locked up in your spirit. It is. Between now and the end of this meeting, ideas will flow. Yes. Ideas will flow. Divinely granted. Because what you carry on your inside is much. It's an intelligence. So let's see that scripture. Let me find out before we go. Acts, we read it before, chapter 4, verse 13. When they heard Peter and John talk, they were amazed. They marveled at their intelligence. Do you know why? Because they knew they were unlearned men. What was the only difference they could note? Read with me. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, the only thing that can make these people this wise is Jesus. Do you know why? When Jesus taught on earth, every time he taught, they were marveled at his level of reasoning. Bible said, you remember now? Who is this guy? So when Jesus sat and they began to talk, they could swear that just was living inside these guys.
Because they were now reasoning at that same Jesus level of reasoning. So they were saying to themselves, we've seen somebody talk like this before. You know, Jesus at 12 was talking with the scribes and the leaders. Now, he wasn't teaching them. That's all, not what the Bible said. The Bible said he was asking them questions. And they were amazed that at that age, he could reason with them. The Bible said Jesus grew in stature, in wisdom. So he, at 12, he was reasoning with them. So what does that mean? You know, there are some questions a child will ask you. You say, who is this child? So by the time he began to talk, sometimes the people, imagine they didn't like him, but they were still coming around to listen to him. Because he was spitting some wisdom. They were just looking at him. So they would just think about to kill him, but he was just talking. You know, Jesus spends more time talking than healing the sick. Actually. Bible said, you know, before the feeding of the 5,000, how long did he teach them? 3 days. Can you read your Bible? He was with them for 3 days. So he was talking to people who don't like him for 3 days. They were wrapped in attention. Are you getting what I'm saying? They were caught up. They were raptured. And that's the word. Like they were raptured. See? Just to tell me that you could hear him talk. You don't know when saliva is dripping. He had that kind of wisdom. Without passing to any instead of learning. So when Peter and John, illiterates, began to talk like that, Amplified Classic said they saw the eloquence. They saw the eloquence of Peter and John. In fact, he said it is unfettered eloquence of unlearned men. Do you know what it looked like? It looked like, because they were before the scribes, looked like they gather professors, doctors, and all of that. And an illiterate stands before them and begins to explain something. And he wasn't afraid. And he was speaking so clearly. He was communicating. He was making sense. They were shocked. The only thing they said, the only difference, we've known these guys are idiots, but they have been with Jesus. That's the only thing they can be talking this way. Now, we've not just been with Jesus. He lives in us. These are days of wisdom. These are days of wisdom. Are you aware? You know, one of the guys who say he's the wisest man in the Bible. What's his name? Before I will talk about Solomon much later, but let me tell you something. Just a few things about him. Do you know he was very wise? How did he become wise? So God gave him wisdom. Do you know how wise Solomon was? If I take you, because I studied Solomon last 2 months or 3 months. If I take you to the level of Solomon, you will be so shocked at what wisdom can work out in a person. This thing will carry in us. This thing will carry in us. Do you know Solomon was holding conferences? He was teaching every week. People were gathering to hear him. Yes. He had a school where we just talk. All those book of Proverbs, he was teaching. They would gather to hear him. But it wasn't just about what he had in his head. That wisdom made him that he governed Israel. David fought 60-something battles. Solomon fought none. And the whole communities around Israel were bringing tributes to him every month. You don't get the point. The Bible said in the days of Solomon, he made gold as common as stone in Israel. He blew up the place. The Bible said when the Queen of Sheba came to see him, even with how his waiters were arranged, with how his table was arranged, she fainted. Are you guys following what I'm talking about here now? She was raptured too. She was raptured. Just by seeing. So you notice the wisdom of God can make us a lot. Now we have that wisdom. Bible said Christ has been made unto us wisdom.
So she saw Solomon did this. Who is this guy? So all the land submitted to him. David fought wars and wars and wars to keep the kingdom together. Solomon did not fight any. He just came in by God's wisdom. He knew what to do. The temple he built was outstanding. The house he built for himself was outstanding. He was just there doing his thing. Doing his thing. And this guy was not born again. Because he was in the Old Testament. But God gave him that wisdom. I believe that we have much more than the wisdom of Solomon in us. I believe that. Because he didn't have Jesus in him. And Christ is made unto us wisdom. So I don't pray for Solomon's wisdom. I never prayed it. I have Jesus. Just that we are not just aware. We've not just reached out to take from that word of wisdom. Are you getting the point? Who can make wise? Bible said when Deuteronomy 34 verse 9, when Moses laid hands on Joshua, Joshua was found with the spirit of wisdom. He was full rather of spirit of wisdom because Moses laid hands on him. So in other words, there is a spiritual reality called wisdom. I get what I'm saying? And we carry that in. You've got to begin to think a little differently. Just a little. I feel that many people that have been stuck in life, this teaching is about to open you up. So, no believer should ever go to a point where he says, I'm very confused. I don't even know what to do. No. The mind of Christ. You are that intelligent. Say it. So there's a man that I will still do that teaching. Now, this just is combi, no. I'm not getting into this. Even later, I'll visit this. But that, you know, the way they have IQ and EQ. That is SQ. Now, it's not just what I'm saying. People are already writing materials on it. Actually. You know what IQ is? Intelligent quotient. That is emotional quotient. That is spiritual quotient. Yes. There are already materials. Chris Vellotton recently presented a material on it. And in a secular conference. He was proving to them that there is a high intent. And he showed them. He used word of knowledge to mesmerize them. But he was saying, if we said there's no spiritual intelligence, how can you explain that? I know that you have a pain at your back. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. He's already getting accepted. That is S. So you are at a different. So if that's why, if you now begin to lean into spiritual intelligence, with time, it will step up your IQ. So even if you didn't come out as the best in your class, or you don't listen, stay with me. God said, let's expand your mind. You will see differently. You will think differently. Differently is at the God level. At the God level. So there is a problem solving skill in the anointing. There's a problem solving ability in the life of God. That even if the problem is not spiritual, we can solve it by the Spirit. Let me ask you. Some of you have experienced at a lower level. How many of you have had a problem, a difficult fix in your place of work, and you solved it by the supernatural? Anybody? Has it ever happened to you? Let me see your hand. Okay. Amen. There have been more things. It will happen much more. Because it happens, sometimes we solve it not by knowing how, sometimes by the anointing too. I've repaired a failed engine. Have I registered you? A knocked engine. Say how? By laying on offense. Let me tell you, it's not today we began to explore. All this, you know, there are things we cannot tell. We began ministry in a very crazy way. We start 11 p.m., generator we go off. Jen is bad. We come out and lay hands in the name of Jesus. Start working. It will work till morning. By morning, it will knock finally. Because it has knocked the previous night. Are you getting the point?
Yes.
Yes. I experienced this problem solving skill of the anointing first. I told you guys the story. Under Reverend Dr. Maokba, right? Went for a meeting and he said we should raise up our handkerchief. I raised up my handkerchief. 2006, I can't forget. He prayed. And said, na handkerchief unjizi naaka buzike chineke. We shall read amen. That is now anointed. And then I was a very small boy. Very small boy. Who just loved God. I was a secondary school boy. And I used to play, I had game. Not PlayStation, Sega. Do you know Sega? How do you play Sega? You didn't play Sega?
Hey.
I'm missing a lot. You missed a lot. Do you play Ending Man? You play Ending Man. That Sega, that the adapter was bad. I didn't have money to buy it. So in that meeting, Dr. Mash shared a story of someone that placed that particular handkerchief that he prayed over on his system and it was repaired. And I went to him. My adapter of my Sega was bad. I'm telling you a real life story. My brothers are here. You can ask them. They witnessed it. And I put it on the Sega, on the adapter and prayed. I removed it. It began to work perfectly. I was angry. So why were I angry? I said, if this handkerchief that went to this meeting one night can do this, me, I've been in this meeting, I burnt the handkerchief. Really? But it awakened something in me. That anointing is not just for tongues. Do you understand? It can solve problems in the natural. So that it can tell you how to go about it. How to go about it. So we have access to a higher level of intelligence. I mean everybody that is in Christ. Some don't just know. Most High God. Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, there are some of you that as you leave this place, one thing that will begin to happen to you is that you'll begin to have some encounters with God that will be related to your work. Some of you will have some visions where the Lord will explain some things to you about what you do and about the next step to take, about how to go about things. You will see it. Because that flow just opened up here now. Yes. Some of you to be marketing ideas, sales ideas. You might just be praying. And it will come. You just know what to do. A problem that has been lingering, you just know how to negotiate. Sometimes God will just give you something to say, and the deal will pull through. Lift your hand, just pray the Holy Ghost. This is that service that gets you thinking again. That will get you thinking. Because from tomorrow, we're going to apply. We're going to see how to work in this thing from tomorrow. Today, just to know, to let you know that these things are possible. These things are possible. These things are possible. Thank you.
There is an opening that is happening. That some of you are. There's an awareness happening in this place. There is so much in this God life. So much we can do. So much we can become. So much we can do. So much we can become. Listen, if we just get home, just keep praying. There are a lot of things that you need to know. There are a lot of possibilities. A lot of possibilities. How many stories I can tell you? I have stories of an accountant trying to balance the sheets and all of that, and he was just so stuck. And by the Spirit, he just got not to. I'm going to explore some trainings because we're going to talk about working in this is from tomorrow. I'm going to show you things like the Word of God. We're going to look at things like the Spirit of God, how to walk in them. We're going to touch things about the gift of the Spirit because I don't know where to assess these things. But there is that empowerment, that thing that is in the woman, that is the Spirit of man that empowers him to know things beyond what anybody can know. Many of you will testify about this. You will sleep. You wake up with what to do. Some of you to come here. Some of you will pray and you will just know what to do. Not just in ministry. I mean in your different business. You might know how to do a certain thing. Some of you that are tellers will sleep and see yourself wearing a particular style in your dream. And you will wake up, you will know exactly how to sew it. You will see what I'm saying. Because what the Lord is saying to me now is that many of them have not dared to use the supernatural in their daily dealings and in their businesses. That's what God is saying to me now. See, many people, it's just about ministry, which is not bad. Healing the sick and all that, that's not bad. But you know, there's an intelligence that solves physical problems. Yes. Such that, you know, that this is where God brings you to. Because some of you are getting to that point where you will sit, and I'm saying it in the spirit, where you will sit in the board of many companies. Yes, I saw it in the spirit. In the board, because you know you bring something to the table. It's an intelligence. Are you following me, friends? Well, I see many of you in the board of many companies, many multinationals, many national companies. I see you sitting on those boards. It's not happening this year, but it's going to start very soon. Because you will develop that SQ. Yes. To a point that when you talk, you'll say, this guy knows what he's saying. I know many people today. Anyway, let me not talk about that one. But let's leave it. But an intelligence that the Holy Ghost gives. And we are open for it now. Now, that's the emphasis of the Holy Ghost this period. And wisdom will now begin to flow. I said, wisdom will now begin to flow now. I know a country that hired the late Dr. Miles Monroe, kept him in their country for long,
for almost 2 or 3 weeks. And they paid him for every hour he spent. And it was just to address their political leaders, House of Assembly, for like 3 weeks. They paid him for every single hour. So we'll just be talking. Just be talking. Some of you have heard this story I told you guys. A young man went to school and graduated with a bad result. He went to UNM. I came out, he studied vet med in UNM. You know why I mentioned vet? You know how long it takes to study vet in UNM? If you study vet in UNM and you didn't do well, came out with third class. Now, he's a tailor. He said, immediately he came out with third class, it became very clear to him that nobody will hire him. So he said, the only hope he had was to take his tailoring business very, very seriously. He said he began to do that. But he was a believer. So he would just pray. So the Lord put it in his heart. I've told you guys this story many, many times. Put it in his heart to begin to sew ties. To make ties. And then, who I'm talking about is a very wealthy guy. He was once a lecturer at Lagos Business School. So if you know what I'm saying. So he began to make those ties, you know, and was distributing it, selling it. So he would go to banks, corporate places. So he saw one lady. One lady was like, let me buy. He saw the tie. I was like, no, these are cheap ties. My boyfriend cannot wear this kind of tie. He said, he got pissed. Well, give me my tie and let me be going. So as he was about to go, he said, the Holy Ghost told him, ask her, what kind of tie does your boyfriend wear? And he asked the girl, you don't tie the boyfriend. And she gave a very sarcastic answer. Give him the names. If it is this tie, we'll be talking. It's not this rubbish you are carrying. And Holy Ghost said, go to the market and buy it. Buy the tie. He bought that tie. Holy Ghost said, open it. I will teach you how to make that kind of tie and give your tie that quality. He said, the first one he tried, he didn't do well. He did it again. He became a pro at it. That guy has one of the highest tie, whatever, clothing stuffs in Africa today. Yes. Because from there, he began to make those high quality ties and the rest, they say, is history. How did I meet him? I didn't hear it from radio. I spoke with him one-on-one in a conference. I bought his book. Some of them know me. I bought his book. And know me, those. I came back with that book then. I won't call the name. I don't want to know the person I'm talking about, as you have noticed. But he was one of the people that he's not. Now, he came for a Christian. He's a preacher, but not really a preacher. He's a guy. He just does his thing. You see, that was what changed his life. See, it was an inspiration of God that told him, start sewing this. Ask that girl. Start making. And he began to, so he shifted and began to make those ties. And then. So actually, God can show you. We carry that intelligence. So he never learned it from anywhere. Do you know what I'm saying? He never learned it from anywhere. He says, are you against us taking courses? Why should I be? Go take your courses. But always remember, there is a higher intelligence that you carry. That what people can grab, you begin to trust for some crazy things. That what you take people 6 months to grab, in 1 month you've picked everything. Yes. You're not the type that will finish 6 months course and you just say, I need to do it again. It should be 6 months course. In 2-3 months, you are in. Not because you are too smart, but because there's a spirit in man. The breath of the Almighty. The inspiration of the Almighty that gives him understanding. That will now be your reality from now. Tomorrow is service. So this meeting continues with service 5 p.m. It's going to be a good time. Tomorrow we're going to talk about how to walk in distance. Your life is about to change. Amen. It's changing already. In the name of Jesus. God bless you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.